go through the Old Testament. You can go through the Old Testament, go through the New Testament, and see the importance of having a thankful heart before God. And it is profound. You could almost say, worship and praise is combined with a heart, with a thankful heart. And to not have a thankful heart diminishes or even, let's just say it negatively affects our worship and praise. Sometimes we can go there that we don't understand in our worship. The Lord commands us to worship, and we can do that, and we should do that. But this idea of thankfulness is really important to him. Probably you would understand it if you had done something. You ever done something for somebody? I mean, gone out of your way, extra effort, really had a heart to do that for them. You bless them either with a gift or with a service, and they just receive it and they don't say thank you. How that impacts you. Maybe nobody else would know, but you're figuring that they're going to say, you're hoping they'd say, wow. I mean, you don't necessarily depend on it, but it's appropriate, and you would feel somewhat, it would somewhat affect you if they didn't at least recognize and appreciate that effort, especially if it was extra effort, and especially if it was something that came from your heart to serve them and to bless them. So if you feel like people, you probably all have had those times when what you've done, there was not an appropriate response of thankfulness in return, how it impacted you. And it could impact your, to the point to where relationship is affected. You go out of your way, I'm never going to do that again. You know, that kind of thing. See if I ever help them again. They didn't even appreciate what I did. So from the Lord's point of view, we have to understand who he is and what he's done for us in an eternal way that would provoke thankfulness for us continually. So I just want to look at a few scriptures that really, I think, establishes the point. And we're going to start in Psalm 50. So here's the, let's paint the picture. The psalmist, psalm is not written by David, it's written by Asaph. He's painting this picture in the end, in the beginning here, he's talking about the Lord judging his people. And he's calling all of creation to account. He's saying, come to this judgment I'm going to have with my people. This is all about him judging his people, those that have covenanted with him. So we'll read through this relatively quickly just to kind of get a feel for it. Now, you just get a feel for where the psalmist is going with all of this. And you can go places as the psalmist takes us places when he describes this God that we serve. Psalm 51, the Psalm of Asaph, the mighty one, God. The Lord has spoken and summoned the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting out of Zion, that is in Jerusalem, that is in Israel. That is where Jesus is going to actually do this. He's going to judge his people. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shown forth. It's talking about Jesus being in this place of judgment. May our God come and not keep silence. Fire, that's what we want. Lord, come, do not be quiet. Come, come now. But at the same time, the psalmist says, fire devours before him. And it is very tempestuous around him. So you have the sense of a storm. Where he comes before him, there's this fire that consumes those things that can be burned. And then around him is this storm that is taking place. This is a pretty awesome location of judgment that is here. And this is the presence of the Lord. So all of a sudden, the psalmist is invoking this sense of reverence and fear before this God who is all powerful, has consuming fire and a storm that just rallies around him, just rotates around him. So you have this idea. So the Lord starts speaking, and he says he summons the heavens above and the earth to judge his people. He's bringing his people. Now, this is not a judgment of the earth. This is the judgment of his people. He's calling all of creation, heaven and earth, come. I want you to witness my judgment of my people. Now, there's a lot to this. We won't go through the whole psalm, but there's the setting up here where I want to get to the point of thanksgiving, which is important. So the Lord says in verse 5, gather my godly ones to me, those who have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is the judge. Next slide. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel. I will testify against you. I am God, your God. I do not reprove you for your sacrifices. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on 1,000 hills. You've heard that. I know every bird of the mountains, and everything that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, would I not tell you? For the world is mine. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? What's he talking about? The sacrifices that were done in Israel on a continual basis. These were offerings where bulls and goats, sheep were sacrificed as a result of either sin, or there was an offering that would combine itself with this sense of dedication, the burnt offering, the whole burnt offering, where they would take their ox or their bull and they would lay it on the altar, and it would be a sense of, this is my life, I am dedicating to you. So there was a heart connection with the sacrifice. There was supposed to be a heart connection with the sacrifice, but it was got to a point, in this case, the Lord could be reproving them because what they were doing is just going through the motions. They were just sacrificing to be sacrificed, as if they said, wow, this is a bloodthirsty God. Let's just keep pouring on the sacrifices. Man, he must be really hungry. He needs bulls and goats and sheep. He needs all these to fill his stomach. And the Lord's confronting them, of course, with things they may have understood, they may not have. But the Lord was confronting their attitude and their giving. So let's go to the next verse. The Lord says, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. If you read through the next, there were two groups of people in this psalm. One was the group of people that were truly covenant and had a relationship with them. Then there was a group, the second group in the second half of the psalm. Read it yourself. They were actually hypocrites. They did not have a relationship with the Lord, and they were the ones that took the name of the Lord in vain, basically. They would say that they had a relationship and they were covenant people, but they were hypocrites. They were involved in evil deeds, and their testimonies brought a negative light on the Lord's name. But we're just going to talk about this first group, which we would probably more identify with. So then in the end of the psalm, he says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. And to him who orders his way aright, I shall show the salvation of God. So here's the point of this psalm. The psalm is saying, all of these things that I commanded you to do in the word, in my law, I commanded you to do these sacrifices. There was a purpose and a reason behind them. However, you've lost sight of it, and now this becomes the end instead of a means of expressing a thankful heart to a God who desires to be thanked for what he's done. He has done something for us. The sacrifices would typically represent them. When it talks about in verse 15, it talks about, I'm sorry, about 14, talk about the vows to the Most High. He's not talking about I vow to pray three times a day or read my Bible once a week or whatever it is. He's saying typically it's the heart connection with the sacrifice that says, Lord, this is me on the altar. I thank you for my life. I thank you for provision. I thank you for your salvation. And I give this with a thankful heart. This is what my expression, my sacrifices of my life, the things that I do for you, is an expression of my thankfulness. And I'm so thankful to you that this is all just a symbol of that. This is all just represents what's going on in my heart. And the Lord is saying, all of those things, I have so many of them. If I wanted to eat all of them, if I wanted, it was, I could have them. They're mine. But what I really want from my people is to be thankful to me, to be thankful for everything that I've done for you, for them. So that's what he's saying. And then he says, like I said, in verse 23, he says, he who offers a sacrifice of thanksgiving honors me. So to honor the Lord in our life is to be thankful and to continue to express thankfulness. So this psalm kind of takes the sacrifices that we would do on a daily basis, disconnects them, or actually it connects them, it has to connect them. Our life has to be connected with a sense of thanksgiving. And we'll go through a few verses of this real quickly to express a few things. Let's go to the next verse, next slide. So this is in Romans chapter 1, talks about creation, Garden of Eden, Adam transgresses, humanity moves away from the Lord, begins to move away from him, and over time and time, they begin to move away from faith and into a place of humanistic thinking. And this verse expresses one of the first steps that takes place in our disconnection and our walking away from the Lord. This is one of the first steps that takes place. It says, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations and their foolish heart was darkened. If you read that whole passage in Romans chapter 1, you'll find that's right at the beginning of a progression that goes into deep darkness. Is that, and I would say it would be a something that we should be discerning in our life, that if we begin to walk away from a thankful heart, that there's a darkness that can come over us. And we can be affected and we can be whittled down when we begin to see God in a light that we actually, not only would we not be thankful because we don't think he's doing something for us, but actually he's working against us. And as a result of that, or he's disconnected, he just doesn't care, he doesn't know where we're at, he doesn't know what we're doing, we stop thanking him. We stop walking with a thankful heart. And that's probably that revelation, the revelation as to why we would have a thankful heart would be something that we would have to seek and grab a hold of for the rest of our life. There's never a reason that we wouldn't be thankful. Is there ever a reason that we wouldn't be thankful to the Lord? There should not be. So this is just kind of a warning, kind of a measurement of your own life. Do I thank God for where I'm at right now? Can I thank him for everything that's happening in my life? Is there a way, a reason, a way, a viewpoint that I can see my life right now to where everything that he's doing in my life, everything that's going on in my life, I can see through him and I can be thankful for him and his grace in my life? Can we do that? And I believe we have to, sometimes we have to fight for that. But it is absolutely necessary. All right, let's go to a couple more verses. Here's Paul in this letter to the Corinthians, second letter, chapter 9, verse 15. He breaks out in this sentence. It was just like, in chapter 9, he's talking about giving. It's amazing how in the New Testament, or how you can say the Lord authored his word, was addressing situations that the apostles confronted and responded to appropriately. So it wasn't like Paul sitting down, all right, next topic, giving. And I'm just going to write down five principles and three practices to get you into the right place. He didn't do that. So he's addressing an issue that arose in the church. And he wanted to confront an attitude. And he wanted to confront a reality. And for these chapters, these that Paul is addressing, the giving, the spirit of giving in the church, was Paul was addressing these the people and trying to open their hearts to give in response to a revelation of the gift that the Lord has given to us. It always begins with him, and we respond in what he's given to us in our giving, in our generous giving. For the Lord is generous, and he wants us to be like him. We walk in that same generosity, but we have reason. So Paul just breaks out in this one sentence. Go, you have to look at it. It's just kind of out of there. He does this every so often, and I find it. He just goes to a place where he transcends even the topic and he just goes in this place and comes out as an exhortation, this reality, this expression of his heart. And he says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. That's the only thing. And then he goes on to the next verse. And he starts a whole nother teaching in Romans 10. But this way, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. And that indescribable, I had a little definition. I wanted to find what that word meant. Because I'm figuring this word, Paul actually coined it. It came out of, it was almost like, it's like my wife, she'll say, man, it was ginormous. You know, ginormous. I don't think that's like gigantic and enormous at the same time. So we call it ginormous. Well, that's like this kind of thing that Paul's doing here. He's actually writing a word that is no place else in the Bible that is describing something of his heart that is beyond something he can describe. He's saying, give thanks to the Lord for this ginormous, this absolutely, I can't even describe how wonderful this gift is. The commentary says, the word used here means what cannot be related. It's unutterable. It occurs nowhere else in the New Testament. The idea is that no words can properly express the greatness of the gift thus bestowed on man. It is higher than the mind can conceive, higher than language can express. Powerful. Powerful. We have been invited into this. We have all been given this indescribable gift. We have been. How many? Do you feel kind of sometimes like that's not what necessarily would come out of me? Like, oh, thank you. But that's where the Lord wants us to go. That's where he wants us to go. He wants to have a sense of connection with him that there is at no time, at any event, in any phase, season of our life, we cannot at any moment turn to him and give him thanks. That's what he's looking for in his people. He's looking for thankfulness in our sacrifices, thankfulness in our response to life, thankfulness for a grace that has been given to us, thankfulness as salvation, to think of those things that would provoke thankfulness in our hearts is what we must dwell on. Well, we must find a reason to. Let's go through a few of these verses quickly, or relatively quickly, and we'll see. just to put this thanks context. So here's Paul. He's, again, last chapter in the book of Thessalonians, first Thessalonians, last chapter. Paul is almost like, okay, I heard the preacher taught, I thought it was pretty good. He's almost like, you know, when mom and dad leave the house and they're going to be gone for a vacation or something, they're leaving, I don't know what it was necessarily. But he said, okay, make sure that this is put away, that you lock the doors, that you take care of this, that you have this done, make sure all of these particular things are done, and we'll be back in a short period of time. That's basically what Paul's doing. He's got a whole list of things at the end of the book of 1 Thessalonians, as if he's saying, these are the things that are important as I leave. I want you to focus on these things. And this is the first of a series of things that he talks about. And they are the first, this is like I would say is a triad of first things, first importance. So look what Paul says. Rejoice always. Okay? What is always? What is rejoice? But what is always? It's always. It's like there isn't a time when you can't rejoice. There isn't a time. No time. Always. Okay? Pray without ceasing. Okay. How much prayer is that? When do we stop praying? Well, you don't really stop praying. Why? Why? So Paul is touching something. And it would challenge us. Paul, why are you saying that? I don't always feel that way. Paul, my prayer life is pretty pitiful. I want to understand this. I want to know, because you didn't just say this just to be saying it. You didn't just say this to say, this is impossible. You can't do this. There's no reason to do this. But I'm going to say it anyways because that's what the Lord wants me to say, and I'm going to make you feel real bad because you don't do it. But there's a reason. There's a reason. So he goes on. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. Is that not? What do you not give thanks in? What do we not give thanks in? It says everything. Bad things? Can we give thanks in bad things? Yeah. Can we give thanks when we're sick and down and disabled, or when we're financially stressed, or when we've done all these things without a thankful response in our life? Does that mean we have a right to not be thankful? So you go back to that last expression, this gift that we have. It's an indescribable gift. We need to understand. We need to know what the Lord has given us. And it lifts us out of this realm to where things are burdensome, where we are having difficulties, where things hurt, and we are hurt, and our souls are hurt. We're hurt in our emotions. We're hurt in our physical body. But there is something that the Lord wants us to be lifted out of in this life into a place to where we can rejoice always. Always I can rejoice. Always I can pray. Why would I not pray all the time? Because you are an inexhaustible resource to me. And if I pray, I have response from you. If I pray, you are included. Not only that, you're invited to exercise your authority and power as I release you through my prayer. I say, yes, your kingdom come in that particular. Why wouldn't I want God in every situation by the release of my mouth? By praying and asking, Lord, exercise your authority. Why would I stop? How many things can he help me with in all of my life? I find so many times in my life, I have ability to do a lot of things. The Lord's taught me a lot of stuff. I can fix things. You know, I can build things. I was a builder. So when I see it, when I see an issue, my wife would say, "Hey, the dishwasher's not working." You know, she would lay hands on it and say, "In the name of Jesus." And I look at her, I say, "That's really silly," because I know there's something going on in there, and I don't even ask. I don't even ask. Well, no, I shouldn't say that. I've learned to ask. I have learned to ask much, much more often. And I've hit my thumb with a hammer, and I've learned to give thanks for that before I go, ah! But inviting him has, in response to my wife's prayers, has changed things just like that. The Lord has intervened. Either he's given me an idea or he's done something, and she'll say, you can hear her say, she probably puts it on Facebook all the time, "Praise the Lord, the Lord answered our prayers." For her, it's an answer to prayer. The thing, our dishwasher's working. For me, it's like, yeah, well, I had to get down on my knees, but at the same time, I found something that actually didn't, I saw how it worked, and I got it fixed, and for her, it was both. And for me, it wasn't me, it was the grace of God that gave me the ability to do it, if you know what I mean. There isn't any part of the chain of resolution, solution, that didn't involve him, because if he gave me the ability to do it, then he trained me to do it. So anyways, we have to learn to rejoice in everything. We have to learn to pray all the time. We are missing a resource that is divinely powered by not praying always without ceasing. Okay, and that, but then in everything, give thanks. This give thanks, he says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. How many want to know the will of God for their life? Let's see hands. Can I? Thank you very much. Well, this is it. Look at it. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So you're saying, yeah, but I need to know my ministry, and I need to know what I'm called to do, and I need to know where I'm supposed to go in life, and I need to know all these things, and until I get those stuff, this stuff doesn't matter to me. I can't figure this out. What am I called to do? What is my purpose? Well, the Lord might be saying, get this down. If you do this, you're prepared for anything, and maybe you even make a way for the entrance into your purpose in life. That by not being thankful, by not seeking me in intercession, by not rejoicing in the fact that I care about your life and I created you for a reason, that I'm not going to withhold that from you. That if you can understand my love for you and how much I'm invested in you, and how I'm not going to delay you one more minute than you have to be delayed in order to prepare you, that in this season you should learn to rejoice in me. Because I love you, and I may have invested in you. I've proven that love. And if you seek me and you learn to pray, I will open up doors for you. But then I'm going to open up doors for me through you. I'm not opening up just for you. I'm not trying to fulfill your life. I don't want you connected, comfortable in this world. I don't want you to have an identity where finally I'm somebody. I've got a ministry. I've got a job. Or I'm somebody in life. And that's the wrong thing. I mean, there's nothing wrong with being thankful like that. But that's, in the end, it anchors us to an identity in this world. And the Lord wants us to walk with him in this. And he's called us for a reason. And he's created us for these works that he has purposed for us. And he is moving in our life right now, in this day, in this season. In this day, in this season, in every season. But I think especially now, to open up our hearts to this sense of thankfulness to him. Don't do religious stuff. Don't disconnect from me. Don't just go through the motions. Don't just offer sacrifices and say things that you don't mean. Don't just do these things. He says, I want you to be thankful. When you offer your sacrifice, say, thank you for doing this for me. I could never pay you back. Never, ever, ever pay you back. For what I do is nothing compared to what you do. I am so thankful. I am so thankful. Even in my sickbed, I'm thankful. Even in the issues that are surrounding me, that are engulfing me, Lord, I rejoice in you, and I'm praying that you come and that you begin to move. And how long do I pray? Don't stop. Don't stop. Okay, I prayed for a week. That's not enough. I prayed for a month. That's not enough. Don't ever cease. I want you to move into relationship with me, but I want that prayer to not just be prayers where you're saying, oh, God, help me. I know you really won't. But anyways, I'm going through. I want you to help me. I just don't know what to do right now. I'm just really discouraged, and I know you don't care about me. And he says, no, that's not what I want you to do. Lord, help me. I need your help. Thank you. Thank you that you hear my prayer. Thank you that you care about my life right now. Thank you that you know where I'm at. Thank you for the grace that is abounding towards me as it was through Jesus. Let me keep my eyes on him, because your grace carried him all the way through the cross, all the way to where the sin of the world was laid on him, the burden that we cannot fathom. The grace of God was on him. I am going through issues right now. Nothing like that. You carried him. Carry me. Carry me. Let me know your thing. Let me know your strength in my life. Until then, I rejoice because you are good. I give you thanks because you are worthy of that. The indescribable gift, I cannot even measure what you've done. I can't even think about all the things that are the benefits that come through Jesus to my life. I can't even think about it. I'm overwhelmed daily, even though I'm overwhelmed by the issues of my life, even by my physical condition. Let's go to the next slide. Connect where Paul's taking this. Here again, devote yourselves to prayer. Do you think he cares about prayer? Do you think that Paul is saying these things just to be said? Do you think there might be a benefit for us to seek understanding as to why prayer is so important? That he would say, don't cease doing it. Not only that, but be devoted to it. Devote your life. That doesn't mean devote your life to, you know, that you can't devote your life to your ministry or your job. It's not that. It's coupled with this life that he's given you. He's saying, devote yourself to this ministry. Devote yourself to relationship with me. Understand how I will intervene on your behalf. Devote yourself to intercession. But he says, don't just pray. Don't just pray those prayers that just come up with no connection. You're going through the motions. You don't expect me to answer them. You're just praying them because you've learned the Our Father. And I'm with a bunch of guys, and when we all gather around, we're saying, okay, let's pray the Lord's Prayer, and we pray it, and it's just like, you know how you do it. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You're going through the motions. You know, you can say it. Everybody knows it. There's no connection to it. Paul says, don't just pray, but keep alerting it with a heart of thanksgiving. Do not disconnect your heart from thankfulness before the Lord in this place of prayer. Do not disconnect yourself. Be alert in it. How? Be thankful to me. Be thankful to me before the answer comes. Before it comes. Thank you, Lord. Do you know everybody here that's afflicted with an illness or an issue in their life is going to be healed? Do you know it? And in that healing, it could happen today. It could happen a year from now. It could happen when you get to heaven. The healing has been provided. Whatever affliction you have, it's not going to go with you into eternity. It's not. So what's our attitude now? If I'm afflicted, Do I stop praising the Lord? Do I stop rejoicing in Him? Do I stop being thankful to Him because of the limitations of my life right now? As if to say, oh God, you haven't done anything for me. I've been going through these issues, and I have not held to account to these things. I don't have to thank you. I don't have to rejoice because I've got such a difficult life, and things are hard for me. And I think the Word would say, no, it's never the case. It's not the case. The Lord, He's wanting a thankful people. He's wanting not just to be thankful in, okay, thank you. He's wanting us to understand in the depths of our heart why we should be thankful. And then in understanding that reality, be thankful all the time, because there's never a reason not to be thankful. Never. Never. God help us. May the Lord help us. I would encourage you to go back to your home and get your concordance out and look up thanksgiving and thankfulness and thanksgiving of thanks in the Bible. It is overwhelming. It is overwhelming. This is scratching the surface. These are a few things that just leapt out at me. Thanksgiving is the psalm I started with. That was where the Lord wanted to go with these people. The whole point of bringing all of these sacrifices, do I need us? No, I want you to be thankful. That's all the Lord says. Would you be thankful? Why? Well, I just want you to be thankful. I haven't done anything for you, but just be thankful. That's not the case. Because I created you for me. I love you. I've redeemed you from the mess that you were in, and I brought you to me, and my grace is abundant towards you. I want you healed and delivered, and I want to be with you forever. I want you, and I've made all provision that you and I can be one. And healing, no problem. It's provided for. You're going to be healed. Now, we want that kingdom that comes in the future here, now. That's what Russ was saying. You know, you want to get in that place to where, hey, there's healing here. There's the presence of healing here. We prayed before the meeting started for a couple people. We can pray for each other all the time. I prayed for people and say, go ahead. I do it myself. My wife, she'll hear this. She'll say, yeah, Thurman, you do it all the time. No, go ahead. You can pray for me. Okay. Okay, I'll do that. I'll pray a prayer, and I'm going to pray a prayer of faith. And it may or may not happen, and maybe I need to learn how to pray better, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray that God touches you. And if He does, I've seen people touched and healed in that particular moment. I've seen people not touched and healed at that moment, go away just feeling maybe even worse, but getting healed a month later as progression, as the Lord moved in their life over a period of time or a year later. But what the Lord was more concerning with is the attitude of the person that is being prayed for. In many ways, I see people that don't have a rejoicing heart, don't have a believing heart, don't have a thankful heart. And part of it is, that's why we pray for one another, because we get overwhelmed by the things of this world, and it gets hard, difficult sometimes, and we need the body to bear the burdens one another to help us, to encourage us, and to pray for us. That's what we're going to do. We're going to need that more often. And it's not like this is an easy road, but it is a necessary one. Let's go to the next verse. I'm tying this all to kind of prayer things too. But listen. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. That in this community of faith where the Spirit is moving amongst the people and they are participating and engaged with bringing their own psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, bringing their hearts to make melody with the Lord. They're engaged with a group of people that are all bringing something with them. They say, this is what you need to do continually, is give thanks. Give thanks to the Lord. Giving thanks for all things, what would that mean? Can I give thanks for something bad that's going on in my life? Can I? Is there a reason why? How about anybody think of a scripture that you could take and connect with potential negative things that are happening in your life that you can be see through that scripture and be thankful for? You're right, exactly. Isn't that a good verse? Say, man, this is tough. This is hard. This is impossible. What is happening? But, Lord, you're working. I love you. You love me. You're working in my life. You're working everything to good. I don't see it right now. I don't see it right now. But I am going to thank you for what you're doing in my life through all of this. That's exactly right. That's at least one. So when Paul says that, he's just not saying, hey, this is a good idea. Throw in some thankfulness. I think it's so integrally connected to our faith. It's not a thing to do. It's who we are. We're thankful people. That's what he wants. He wants us to be a thankful people. Okay, let's see. All right, Hebrews 3:15. Through him then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. Let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise. You know, sacrifice, we're talking about the sacrifices of the bulls and goats and everything, the blood and everything else. In this case, the transition is made in the New Testament. We're no longer are we sacrificing bulls and goats, but we're actually sacrificing our praise. We're sacrificing ourselves. I don't feel like it. I feel like I'm dying. But I'm going to praise you. It's a sacrifice, Lord. I'm going to praise you. And then it says, what is that? What is that? He says, it's the fruit of lips. These things are flapping. You know what I mean? It's not just like, It's like, thank you, Lord. You know what I mean? It's the lips moving. It's the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. That's what it is. It's the fruit of lips. So you get people together, and we're all mouthing, saying, expressing with our mouths to one another, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Continually, always encouraging everybody to be thankful. All right, last one. Let's look at Psalm 100. Awesome psalm. Awesome psalm right there. Calling for group participation. You guys feel like participating? Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Because you're going to, by the grace of God. All right, let's look at this psalm. Just listen to this. A psalm for Thanksgiving. That's coming up on a few days. A psalm for Thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Now think about it. This is creating an environment where the Lord's pleasure is being extended to. He is creating this environment where the people of God come, and if they can do these things, It is an expression of their faith to God, that is moving on their behalf, and he's actually inhabiting this place right here. He's inhabiting this place. Now look at all the expressions. Shout joyfully to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. That's a pretty good reality. Know that he's God. I mean, you're above everything. They're not just the Lord on this level. You're above everything. And when we praise you, we see you high and lifted up. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. Yeah, that's true. I think you're all made. I think you're all made. I think we are all made. We didn't make ourselves. I think that's sometimes a confusion. You ever do that? You ever go in and say, you know, or you think in your mind, you know, I studied and I prepared and I trained and I did this. I did all these things and I got rejected for the promotion or whatever. Paul would talk about how he prepared himself more for his apostolic calling than the other apostles did. And then it was almost like he stopped himself. Well, he didn't really stop himself, but he added, but it wasn't really me. It was the grace of God in my life. That whatever you have the ability to withstand, whatever the ability to endure, whatever the ability you have to be trained and be taught and to exercise your giftings, all of that was given to you by the Lord. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. We sing that song. I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. Anybody know that song? Anybody don't know that song? Any of the young people? Do you know the song? Oh, all right. We're going to have to do that one. Oh, man. I mean, praise 101, wasn't it? 101A. It was like the beginning of praise. I will enter your gates with thanksgiving in my heart. There's a dance that goes with it too. I will enter your courts with praise. I will say unto the Lord, the Lord has made. I will rejoice for you have made me glad. You have made me glad. You have made me glad. I will rejoice for you have made me glad. You have made me glad. You have made me glad. I will rejoice for you have made me glad. I will enter your gates with thanksgiving. Yes, let's sing it again. Let's sing it again. Let's sing it again. Let's do it. Let's do it. You know what I mean? We are the house of the Lord. You know that? When they talked about the house of the Lord back then, it was the temple. But when now, the temple is us. We are the temple. So when I go to the house of the Lord and rejoice, I'm going with my people. And I'm with you. And you're with me. And we're together. And we have an attitude in our hearts because the Lord has taught us who he is. And we have a measure of understanding of this indescribable gift, this ginormous gift that he's given us that is beyond what we have a taste of that, and we cannot not thank him. We must thank him. And when you thank him and I thank him and we're in together, we enter his courts into this place where he is together. And then we open our hearts to his praise, and then he comes in that place of his temple and he can dwell there. But it starts with entering in with a thank. Do you believe that? The access point, the door to get into this place, you get in through a heart of thanksgiving. You have to have a thankful heart of your life. If we don't, we need to say, okay, Lord, help me to understand what I have to be thankful for. That's where we're at right now. I think the whole body of Christ needs to go there and say, what am I thankful for? And then not be held back. Give thanks to him. Look at how much it says in there. Give thanks to him. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations. Sometimes, you know, I think about the parable of, I'll still have this teaching, another teaching for me. But the unjust judge, do you know the unjust judge parable? Where the Lord says, I want to teach you a parable because I want you to pray without ceasing. I don't ever want you to lose heart in prayer. I'm going to give you a parable, and you're going to, I want you to listen, you're appealing as one who needs, has been unjustly treated. You're appealing to a judge who doesn't care about you and doesn't care about God. And you're going to press him and press him and press him. I need help. I need help. And you're going to weary this judge to finally says, okay, get out of here. You can have your way. Just leave me alone. And the idea was here Jesus is painting a picture of God as this, I mean, you could almost make that sense, the connection, as this God who just sits there and say, I'm really bothered by you guys doing all this prayer. And you're wearying me. And I'm not going to answer you. I'm going to make you do long time prayers. I'm just going to make you endure and persevere. You're just going to have to pray and pray and pray. And I may or may not respond to you because I really don't care. And so we, in our intercessory ministry and our intercession and our prayer, we can actually take that view of God that he's really not kind of, he's kind of disconnected from me. He's not really going to answer. He really doesn't care. I just got to keep moving him and moving him, and maybe one day he'll open up to me. But so the view of our mind gets tainted through our experience, through the response, the investment of our life in intercession, in worship, in devotion to the Lord. He seems like he's distant, uncaring about what happens. And we can get tainted in our hearts, in our view of God, as in response to our experiences of unanswered prayer, of difficulties that we're dealing with, injustices against our life. And all of a sudden, God is this, oh, man, he doesn't care. He's disconnected. And the Lord says, that's not the way it is at all. And that's what they're saying here. He's saying, the Lord is not the way. He's actually saying, good. I'm as soon as you say something, as soon as you pray, I send the answer. The answer's on its way. It's got to go through all kinds of issues to make that thing happen. There's going to be opposition. It's going to be a lot of it's going to be spiritual warfare that you're going to contend with to make a way for this thing to happen. But you facilitate it through continued intercession in a heart of thanksgiving. That this thankful heart that sees God as saying, you are good. And I'm not praying to somebody that is an unjust judge. I'm praying to a God who loves me and is zealous, and you are sending your justice to me quickly. You are speedily sending it to me. And though if I can see you as this God who loves me and is good, and you are moving on my behalf just at the sound of my lips, just at the word, Lord, help, I'm rushing towards you. Stay in that heart. Stay with that posture. Continue to pray to me. Continue. And you're making a way for the answer for this thing to come because it's already on its way. It can't get there any faster except that you pray, maybe with others. You can gather this thing together and you can pray and it'll happen. It'll break through all the obstructions, but it's already on your way. And I can't wait to see my grace fulfilled in your life when it gets there. It's not the Lord is saying, I'm not going to do it. It's to say, I'm there, but you must facilitate the answer. You must facilitate the entrance of that answer into your life, and it is accessed through believing prayer with a thankful heart. Thank you, Father. Thank you that I prayed and that you respond. I thank you, you are a good God. I thank you that you heard my cry. I thank you that you're answering my prayer even now, though I don't see it. I thank you. I thank you that you are good. You are good. You're always good. You're not bad. You're not an unjust judge. You are the righteous judge. And you say that you will respond speedily into my life when I pray. And if I continue to pray, if I continue to stand in faith and I have a thankful heart, access is made to the answer to that prayer in my life. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generation. He is faithful. Okay. Here's what I want to do. I want you to join me to shout joyfully to the Lord. It says, go back to the last. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Do you know that's pretty amazing? Why? Why? Why do we shout? Has anybody ever shouted praise to the Lord? Anybody praise the Lord? Shout praise. Why would the Lord want, is it like, I can't hear you unless you shout? But there's an expression of that heart of faith that comes forth in that heart, in that expression of a shouting to the Lord of his goodness, of his faithfulness, of his greatness, of the indescribable gift. So here's what I want to do. I want you to shout with me. I mean, really, I want you to shout with me. I want it to be loud. Not just a whimper. Not just, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I want to shout all of us together. I want to shout to the Lord. And what you're going to shout to him, you're just going to shout your praise to him. You're going to shout thankfulness to him. We're going to thank him for who he is. You can thank him. You can take it out of this psalm if you want to. Thank you for you are good. Thank you for your loving kindness is everlasting. Thank you. We'll just spend a little bit. We'll just do one short period of time. But I want everybody to enter in by faith, and shout unto the Lord your praise, your thankfulness for who he is. All right? Can you do that? Me, 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 me. Ah. All right, I'm going to count to three. You're going to give it everything you got, and we're just going to shout to the Lord his goodness, his greatness, his loving kindness, his mercy. You can do anything you want to. Yes, let's stand up. Stand up. Let's stand up. Look, Steve's standing. That means everybody should be standing. All right. Here's what I'm going to do. This is good. Believe me, this is good. There's something that happens in this. I believe it. I'll count to three. When I count to three, everybody is going to enter in, and we are just going to shout to the Lord. We're just going to lift our voices, and it's going to be loud. And let's just do it for a few seconds. I'll tell you, we'll just do it for however long it takes. We'll see. The Lord might be really on this, and we'll just continue to do it. And then when it's time, we'll just, it'll be good. All right, so I'm going to count to three. Are you all ready? You got something to shout to him about? All right. One, two, three. Shout unto the Lord. You can do it. You can do it. You know what? He likes it. He does. He likes it. All right. I think that's it. That was ginormous. I mean, that was...
Thankfulness is so important. And I want to share something with you that I was reading this morning during worship. Look at this. It says, Malachi, then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old and in former years. Speaking of thanksgiving, okay, there's power in it. He says, and I will come near to you for judgment. Now, you have to understand, I love judgment, okay? I love judgment because God judged in my favor when Jesus came. Hello. Then it says, I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, and against those who exploit wage earners. In other words, things in your life that you may experience, witchcraft, curses that come against you, maybe someone else who is being exploiting you in some reason. You praise me, you honor me, you come with thanksgiving, and I'll be a swift witness. And I will come and judge those who are coming against you. Lead me not into temptation and deliver me from the wicked one. Okay, so in the midst of the praise, in the midst of the thanksgiving, God comes as a swift witness as well in order to destroy the enemies that are coming against you. That's good, man.
So much concerning the subject that is, yeah, hopefully you turn my mic down when I'm shouting. My shouts are being amplified. But there is so much there. And I just scratched the surface by a few verses that I thought kind of impressed me. But I'm thankful for you guys, too. I'm thankful that for your faith being mixed with mine. And that's right, I forgot about that. Yes, for those who want to give. Lord, I thank you. You guys are so generous. I just want to affirm you in your generosity. It's amazing, the giving that has taken place, and we have, we've just been blessed by so many of you. It's really amazing, and it's awesome that I just want to commend you for that, that you're so generous in your heart. So, Lord, I bless these people for their generous giving. I thank you. They understand, they know, and they're led to give here by your Spirit. And they would be led no other way to give. But Lord, we thank you that your Spirit is generous to us and that you've opened up our eyes and our hearts to see how generous you are to us. Would you move me especially, Lord? Move my heart into that place of generosity in every aspect of my life and free us, Lord, to trust you for everything. So we bless you, Lord. I bless those who give. I ask that you would continue to prosper those who give. In every way, not just financially, but in every way, that your grace would be manifest in so many different ways around them, in healing, deliverance, in a revelation, in answered prayer, in the resources they need to continue to do what you've called them to do, the training, the preparation even now. I just thank you that your grace will be abundant towards your people who give. So, Lord, let your grace abound towards these people. Lord, I bless them and I love them and I thank you for the faith that they have that is mixed with mine. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you all. Have a good Thanksgiving, I guess. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. And thank you,